Mr. and Mrs. Walker, so nice to see you both again. Oh, not at all. After speaking with you about your family's case, I didn't think twice before accepting it. This must be your daughter. Hello, Bree. I'm Dr. Rosenthal. It's a pleasure to meet you. Shyness is nothing out of the ordinary, Mrs. Walker. I'm sure Bree will be much more comfortable after the initial handover. It's always a little awkward for teens to speak around their parents. You remember being 17. Yes, of course, it won't be too long. Take a stroll along the seaside. The city's particularly lively today, for the long weekend, I imagine. It's just lovely for visitors such as yourselves. Absolutely. You'll be able to collect her in one piece in about 90 minutes. Take care. Please, take a seat on the sofa. Would you like anything to drink? We have juice, Coke, water, vodka tonic, maybe?
Water's fine.
Of course. Here you go. Before we start, Bree, I just want you to know that anything we say inside these walls is completely at your discretion. I understand you've been going through quite a lot at home and at school, so you can take as much time as you need. This initial session is just to simply get to know each other, for me to get to know you, to listen to you, and to offer you the chance to relieve some tension you may be holding by not having a healthy outlet to discuss your feelings, if you choose to. And even though you're still technically a minor, even just for a few months, anything you say to me, I will under no circumstances repeat to your parents.
Unless you believe me to be a harm to myself or to others.
Parents. Exactly. So, shall we begin?
You're the doctor.
Okay. So why don't you tell me a bit about your home life?
You have a lot of awards on your wall.
I beg your pardon?
Your awards. There are a lot of them. Graduated with honors, top student, published before you finished a degree. You're a real hotshot shrink, aren't you?
Well, I've certainly always tried my best.
You only have your master's, though? I don't see a doctorate anywhere. Not sure why you'd hide it when you're still displaying it. Is that a track and field trophy?
Well, when you move into a new office, having bare shelves looks tacky. It's better than displaying books I've never read. I'm waiting to hang my degree until after my next research paper is published. If you're curious. It comes in a slightly nicer frame.
I mean, you skipped the part of your opening statement that I added in last. The part about harming myself or others. Did you do that because you were worried about scaring me so I might not talk as much as you wanted me to?
It isn't strictly necessary to be explicit about that to a patient. Sometimes it causes discomfort, which could lead to an unproductive session. The goal is to make as much progress as possible. You and I don't know each other very well, and it's your process I have to respect.
But you know why I'm here. You spoke to my parents. Do you think I'd be made uncomfortable by something you know doctors have made very clear to me in the past because I have, in fact, been a harm to others?
I am aware, yes.
Well, then why would you hesitate? Are you afraid of me?
I'm not afraid of you, Bree. I just don't want to push your limits too far.
My limits. You're funny. You seem like a smart lady, so I'm still not really sure why I'd be worried I'd clam up unless... Wait a second. Your research paper. Is it on me?
No. It's not on you, of course.
But it's on people like me, right? I'm right, aren't I? I'm your subject. Ha! Feel like I'm on Oprah's couch now.
My research is influenced by the patients I see, yes. Part of the reason your parents contacted me is because of my research. I specialize in cases of troubled young adults, specifically those with personality disorders. You aren't the first patient I've seen who's tried to derail the session with inquisitive theatrics. When you're ready to move on, I'll follow your pace. Now, Bree, Your home life?
I live with two lovely, passive folks from upstate New York. They have modest 9-to-5 jobs. Dad plays bingo on Friday nights, and my mom immigrated from Germany, so she watches Seinfeld reruns constantly. Just two honest folks living the American dream.
From Germany. That's interesting. Do you speak a little German?
Yeah.
I do too. Learned it in college. You're very lucky to have learned it young. It's a lot harder when you get older. Mein Deutsch ist nicht sehr gut. Aber wenn Sie langsam sprechen, ich kann verstehe besser.
Nicht schlecht.
Thanks. So, you've described your parents. Now what about your brother? Bray?
What brother?
Your older brother, Jack.
Jack's not my brother. Jack's a parasite that thankfully no longer visits on Thanksgiving.
Do you want to tell me about what happened to him?
You're asking because you already know.
I'd prefer the unabridged personal version, not the 5 o'clock news version. It's just you and me in here. Maybe you'd feel better telling your side of the story to someone who hasn't just read you your rights. I know you have no problem talking about it. I understand there's no remorse. I just want to know why, and maybe help you get through it.
Help me get through it? You mean, help me get over it, like it's something I need to get over?
Well, maybe I just want to hear it so I can quote it in my next book and get a few extra 1,000 copies sold at your expense. Would you prefer to hear something like that? Not everyone is out to get you, Bree. Least of all me.
Once upon a time, Jack Walker decided the best way to deal with his stress at preparing for college was to snort Adderall and molest his little sister.
Go on.
Is that not enough for you?
Your parents would easily agree to an extended session, and it's a long weekend.
You want me to tell you from my perspective, then?
Yes, I do.
Fine. Little Jackie Walker was such a handsome boy. Tall, dark hair, bright green eyes. Really smart, too. Overachiever, ran track, just like you. He brought lots of pretty doe-eyed girls over for dinner, but none of them stayed around very long. Didn't really know why until I got the chance to see what he was like with them. When Jack started to study for college, he started getting really stressed. A lot was expected of him. He couldn't focus. He had a short temper. He'd have outbursts at anyone in the family at the drop of a hat. Of course, neither parents ever told anyone. I stayed away from him mostly, but never really felt any emotion either way. I didn't exactly like the yelling, but what did I care what he was angry about? He started to focus his attention on me. I was the only one who didn't pay any to him. I think he really hated that. We played together when we were both young, but we have such a large age gap. He's about ready to go to college, and I had just begun puberty. Hard to maintain a close relationship. Anyway, it started small. He'd watch me walk from the bathroom after a shower to my bedroom, peek through the crack of my door as I got ready for bed, taking my towel from the bathroom so I'd have to walk to my room naked, always watching somehow.
I'm sure that must have scared you quite a bit.
It didn't scare me, it annoyed me. I like to be left alone.
Please, continue.
One day I came home from school and he was already upstairs, but when I shut the door, I heard the wheels of his desk chair roll across the hardwood. And then his footsteps down the stairs, one after the other. You know how you can always tell someone by their footsteps? His were lumbering and melancholy. Made the floorboards creak very slowly. I got this sinking feeling in my chest, like I knew he wanted something from me. I dropped my bag and waited for him. I had a feeling I knew what he wanted, but I wanted to see for myself.
You didn't think to run away? Call for help?
No. I wanted to see what he would try. I was curious. A little excited, even. He came into the room and said, "Bree, I need your help." I rolled my eyes at him and started to walk away. He always hated when I ignored him. I guess because he was always the center of everyone else's attention. He grabbed my arm and I laughed. "What do you want?" I said. And he squeezed it, trying to let me know he was stronger than me. Like, it wasn't obvious. Like, he needed to prove it to himself. Physically, he was stronger than me, maybe. his whole hand wrapped around my bicep. He started to pull me upstairs. I struggled a little, but eventually he just picked me up and brought me into his bedroom.
Were you scared then?
No. He grabbed me by the hair and pushed me onto the floor, pushed his knee into the small of my back so I couldn't move. I could hear him undoing his belt while I looked forward and noticed an old shoebox under the bed, some rollerblades, a lost earring. The time he took to undo his pants must have been 20 seconds, but it felt like 20 minutes. I remember feeling a little bit impatient. Just get on with it already. He turned me over and straddled my chest. That's the first time I'd seen a cock in real life. It was interesting. Like it was supposed to be the scary thing I was never supposed to see. My mom used to cover my eyes during Calvin Klein ads on TV. It wasn't so scary. I'm sure he thought I saw it that way. He forced it into my mouth and I felt him wince as it scraped against my teeth. He pushed it as far as he could, making me gag a few times. I wasn't really sure what I was supposed to do, honestly. It felt a little silly. I could tell I felt so powerful in that moment. It was really pathetic. I wanted him to continue fucking my mouth because I really enjoyed how pathetic he looked. I eventually got used to the feeling, relaxed my jaw a little so he could slide it in and out a little easier. Not like I could stop him before he decided he was finished anyway. When he pulled it out of my mouth, presumably to try and fuck me, I laughed. I couldn't help it. He just looked so stupid. Standing there, feeling like some kind of powerful god for taking advantage of a child. Such a sick piece of shit little Jackie Walker is. He got upset, and then I started to feel upset. Suddenly it wasn't so funny anymore, and I was really, really angry. Angry that he thought that my body was his. Angry that he thought he could take out his frustrations on me. So when he pushed me down again on my back, so hard it nearly knocked the wind out of me, I slid my hand under the bed, grabbed one of the rollerblades, and cracked him in the head with it. He fell back. I jumped forward, clenched my hands around his neck. I remember at the time my hands were so small that I couldn't actually wrap around it. So instead, I locked my elbows and leaned my weight into his windpipe. He gasped and gagged, like I had. And then I leaned forward and bit down on his left ear. I dug my nails into his skin and pulled as hard as I could with my teeth. He screamed and tried to throw me off. Eventually, he succeeded. I spit the piece of skin I'd pulled off onto the floor, and he started to bleed everywhere, crying and screaming. His cock was still out even. Pitiful.
Do you think that you didn't call for help? That you more or less allowed this to happen so that you could deal out your own justice?
Absolutely.
And why do you feel that dealing with it yourself was necessary, rather than simply reporting his behavior, telling your parents, getting the police involved?
People like Jack don't learn from a slap on the wrist. They need to learn for themselves why what they're doing is wrong.
Even though the way you went about it painted you as the aggressor.
By the court, maybe. All that matters to me is what he and I know. He may never go to prison, but he knows he's weak and disgusting. That's what counts.
There's some nobility in that, I think. Though I can't ever condone violence in my position, you wanted to take back control from someone who had continuously been trying to maintain it. Control over you and your body. I can't imagine a lot of women, or any young girls, who would be able to defend themselves in that position.
Well, thanks for not calling me crazy.
Certainly not crazy for claiming your body as your own. Do you find now that maintaining control is a defining factor in maintaining relationships in your life as a whole?
Yes.
Does this affect your personal life? Your sex life?
It most certainly does.
Can you give me an example?
Are you married, Doctor?
What?
Are you married?
I am, yes.
Interesting.
Care to elaborate?
Kids?
Yes, two.
Have you ever cheated before?
Is this turning into a therapy session of my own now?
You wanted to get to know each other? It's only fair that I ask questions too.
I've never cheated, no.
Really?
Really.
That's very impressive.
Why?
Because most people cheat.
Well, I would agree that monogamy is a difficult concept, certainly a societal one.
Most people cheat because most people are too selfish to admit that it is impossible to completely satisfy the needs of another person. And that just because one can't satisfy those needs doesn't mean the other isn't entitled to have them. I find that fascinating.
Do you seek out people in relationships to satisfy your own sexual needs as a way of exercising control?
Well, I wouldn't say seek them out, but if they cross my path, they're certainly more interesting. Trying to convince themselves that they can resist temptation. If they could resist temptation, the temptation wouldn't even be there. They wouldn't feel tempted. Whether they feel tempted or not is entirely out of their hands. It has to do with their core desires, as an animal.
And you think that manipulating those desires helps you?
No, not help me. Help them. You go your whole life without expressing those emotions. It's a sad life. It'd be much better if husbands and wives could just admit that they can't provide every little thing for each other and allow some healthy outlets in which to express them.
So you believe that you are providing a service by helping people cheat on each other?
Are you judging me now, Doctor?
No, but that's what you're describing. Simply stating it coldly, which you prefer.
Have you ever been with a woman?
Okay, I think it's time to move on.
Come on. Remember, nothing leaves these walls. Said yourself I'm a special case.
It's highly unethical and also illegal to discuss my personal sex life with a patient who is also a minor.
Have I hit a nerve? Am I making you uncomfortable because you have been with a woman, but don't want to talk about it?
Bree.
Maybe you have, but you'd like to. Maybe that's a need that your husband can't quite meet.
Miss Walker, this is extremely inappropriate, and I insist that we move on. This isn't about me, this is about you, and I will not be manipulated into one of your playthings. Do you understand?
Fine. I like it when you scold me.
Bree.
All right. I like you, Doctor. You get me.
Oh, well, I'm very glad you think so. You're a complex case, but you're still a person. You respond to treatment and handling catered to you. It's clear that you respond to assertiveness and have a tendency to test how far you can push people, including me. Not something I haven't dealt with before. So now, why don't you give me an example, like I asked before?
Well, one time, I was taking the metro home and I started talking to this woman. She was in a suit, skirt, hair all tied up tight. I was sitting across from her, a few seats away, and she took her shoes off. Must have been standing on them all day. Exhausted. One of her shoes rolled towards me as the train turned, so I picked it up and I walked it back to her. She was all embarrassed and said she felt like a mess. I told her she looked fine. In fact, I wished that I looked like that at the end of a long day. She blushed a little. We chatted for a few minutes, and after a while she said she felt guilty because she wished the ride home was longer. She had two kids at home. She was tired. All she wanted to do was just take a bath and read a magazine, but her husband probably wouldn't be much help, so she'd have to take over as soon as she got home. It's funny how quickly someone can open up to someone else once they become comfortable, and once they get that the other person wants to listen. Are you with me, Doctor?
Yes, I'm sorry. Go on.
Anyway, she warmed up enough to me that I held my hand out and gestured to her feet. She gave one to me, so I massaged it a little for her. As I did, she pushed the ball of her foot into my crotch. I could feel her putting pressure on my clit. Does that sound like something you'd like to do, Doctor?
Are you making this story up so you can get me to feel personally vulnerable to you?
Is it working?
You want a way in, so you can feel like you have control over our relationship.
Well, initially I did, but you're the first person I've met who's been this much of a challenge. I like that.
Clearly, this is the only way to get through to you. So I'll play ball. I've never cheated, but I've been cheated on. I work a lot. I study a lot. I want to be at the top of my field, and so far I've accomplished that. I'm young for my profession, but I'm often distracted. It's a very cliche story, but my husband was simply drawn to someone who could offer him more attention. She wasn't smart. She wasn't jaw-droppingly beautiful. Just willing and needy.
It's hard to make sense of it, isn't it? You're beautiful. You're intelligent and strong-willed. Yet just because of that one little need you couldn't satisfy, your marriage is in turmoil.
You're right. And like you said, if we could all just understand that and relinquish a little control of each other, relinquish a little possessiveness, maybe he could have had a healthy outlet and we all would have felt better about it. But what can I say? I'm a product of a monogamous society, and I cling to the naive notion that one person can be another person's everything. Perhaps that's too romantic of me.
It is romantic of you. Even more so that you understand why it sounds nice, but in reality it's horseshit.
How do I know now that you're not twisting words and manipulating me so that I'll feel attracted to you? How do I know your compliments are genuine and this bond you're trying to create is real for you?
You don't. You just have to decide when to trust me and when not to. Honestly, you're doing a pretty good job.
This session is certainly taking the wind out of me.
How'd you find out?
Just saw some messages on Facebook. I wish I hadn't. It was odd. I read through it like I was reading the conversation of two strange teenagers. I'd never heard him speak like that to anyone. And there were so many emojis.
Well, we can assume he was trying to be somebody else to maintain this girl's attention. Seriously lacking self-confidence to change the personality just to get some ass. Obviously didn't think his regular self was good enough.
It makes me feel like I may have had something to do with that.
A person who relies on someone else for all of their self-confidence is setting themselves up for failure. Personally, I think it's sad. He never would have been fulfilled putting on a mask every night to go see her. It's a false sense of satisfaction. I know that it really hurts to feel like you're not enough. Which is a stupid feeling that your mind cooks up, because what does enough even mean? You don't have to hurt. Instead, you could feel pity. Pity that he didn't feel strong enough to admit his shortcomings as a human. The fact that he has unmet needs. And it couldn't be to spare your feelings, which you could argue was somewhat of a valid reason to keep quiet. It was to spare his own. You know what might feel better? If you were able to have a need met that he can't fulfill. How does that feel?
Feeling your hand running up my thigh is making me a little weak. But we can't. You're a patient and you're underage.
Shh. If no one knows, then it might as well never have happened. You said yourself you want a relationship between us. Some kind of bond. Well, I find you unbelievably sexy and difficult. And I know that you're finding a little bit hard to say no to me, which is good. Because I really don't like being told no.
Well, understanding your process and understanding your need to feel in control, it's important that I don't let you keep all of it. It's important for me to push you a little, to expose you to uncomfortable situations so that you can work through your issues.
Are you telling me no, Doctor?
In a way. Give me your wrists. Don't pull away. Good girl.
I like feeling your grip. You can squeeze a little harder, you know. I won't break.
Now, slowly lean back. Lift your hands over your head, against the armrest, that's good. I think that you enjoy feeling a little vulnerable, a little overpowered, as long as it's not against your will. I wouldn't want you to become angry with me like you did Jack. I think my ears are my best feature. No, you don't get to be in control right now. Consider this exposure therapy. Don't make me force your legs down. As much as you want to pull me down on top of you, you have to resist.
But I'm terrible at taking orders.
Well, you'll have to start getting a little better at it. Now, to answer your question before, I've only been with a girl one other time. She was a little older than me. It was in college, very cliche, I know. Getting drunk on margaritas and jello shooters. Kissing in front of the group. Being cheered on and all that. We went back to my dorm, and she asked me if I'd ever been with a woman, and I said no. She kissed my stomach like this. And undid the top of my pants. Lowered them down. And licked me for nearly 45 minutes. Now, lift your ass up a little so I can pull your shorts off. There we go. It felt wonderful. But I'd never felt it before from a woman, so I wasn't able to come. I wish I had. Then I always wondered what it tasted like. What it was like laying over a woman like this. Someone with soft skin. Like this. Spread your legs. Would you like me to taste you?
Yes, please.
You look gorgeous. Such an attractive, even beautiful pussy. And shaved. I can't help but feel like you prepared for this. I don't mind. I like how you taste. God. The way you're moving when I have my tongue on your clit. It's divine.
Oh, God. God, that feels good. Let me put my legs over your shoulders so you can push your tongue deeper inside me. Oh. You like feeling a little in control? It's therapeutic, isn't it? Wouldn't it be so perfect if your husband were to peek through the window and see what he's missing out on? Mm-mm. When he decided to cheat on. Oh. Put two of your fingers inside me, please.
Like this?
Deeper, please.
God. Oh, you're so wet. I imagine if he did see, he'd be very turned on. But probably upset.
How hypocritical of him. More. God. Harder. Oh, harder. I cannot but push my hips right into your mouth. You're so very good at this. Fuck.
Yes. Put your fingers in my hair.
You like when I push your head down on me, do you? Burying your face in my pussy, pulling hard on your hair. Oh, yes, a moan for me. Those muffled moans and growls.
Bring your hips forward more so I can set your ass on my knees and lift you up a bit more. I want to be able to get as deep as possible inside you. Hit your G spot.
Oh my God. Oh God. Yes. Yes. Oh, you're gonna make me come.
Ugh. Then come. Come on, Bree. Come for me. That's it.
Yeah, yes.
A little bit more. Good girl. That looked quite nice.
Okay. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Right here. Come on. Walk forward.
Where do you want me to go?
Come on. Keep walking. Up in front of the desk. Now, bend down. Come on now, don't make me have to be rougher with you than I need to be. Bend over.
And what do you plan to do with me?
Whatever I please. Don't move while I push up your skirt. How convenient. You're wearing stockings, not tights. My God, you look gorgeous from behind. I wish I had a cock to thrust into you from here. You like that, do you? Feeling me kneeling behind you, squeezing and slapping your ass. I can see how wet you are. Eating my pussy sure turned you on, didn't it? Does your husband ever spend any time licking yours?
I can't say he does.
Poor girl. Guess if he doesn't eat your pussy, he probably doesn't lick your asshole either, does he? Doesn't kneel behind you like this, spreading your ass cheeks apart like this.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck, yes. That feels so good. Don't stop, please. Don't stop. Oh, God. God. I can feel your tongue swirling around inside me. More. Oh, please, God. It makes me want to circle my hips. I feel your mouth sliding over my lips as I move, and now, fuck, your tongue sweeping over the length of it and up over my ass. Oh, fuck, yes, you dirty girl. Keep going. Keep showing me how absolutely fucking filthy you are. Yeah, that's it. Dig your nails into my ass. Oh, oh yes.
Stop pushing back. I'll give it to you when I'm ready. I can't really describe to you how I feel right now. This hunger that overwhelms me. Just standing here, your wetness pressing against my abdomen. Feeling it drip slowly down and looking at the curve of your body. It's this primal feeling. Better than any drug. But I guess it's like a drug for me. Especially knowing you've got some poor sap at home who probably thinks he's living the dream, fucking some young thing that lets him come on her face like in all the porn he watches while he thinks you're asleep.
You could argue that I'm doing the same thing.
You could. But what we have is much different, and quite frankly, I'm a lot better than that. We have something honest. Such an easy entry. You are absolutely soaked, dripping all over my hand. Willing, clenching my fingers. How far can I push?
Oh, God. Deeper. Deeper. Oh. Oh.
Should I add a third?
I don't know. Fuck.
Does that feel tight, baby girl?
Yes. It hurts a little bit, but I love it.
What's your husband's name?
Tom. His name is Tom.
Tom. Do I fuck you better than Tom does?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Do you make your pussy feel better than he does? Then tell me.
Oh, yes.
Tell me then. Tell me I'm better than him.
You're better. You're better than him.
Than who?
Tom.
All together now, girl.
Tom, you're better than Tom. You fuck me better than Tom does.
Oh, God. Good girl. Now come here. Don't yell too loud. Someone down the hall might hear. And I know you like having your hair pulled, so it can't be that bad. Look. Look in front of you in the reflection in the window. Do you see what you look like? Kleines Luda. Hübsch, kleine Schlampe. Probably didn't learn that in school. My pretty little slut. Your back arched against me, your hair a mess under your blouse so I can see. Those gorgeous tits. Can you see?
Yes.
Now repeat after me. Ich bin deine kleine Schlampe.
Ich bin deine kleine Schlampe.
Deine Spielzeug.
Deine Spielzeug.
Wenn mein Mann mich später vögelt, werde ich an dich denken.
Wenn mein Mann mich später vögelt, werde ich an dich denken.
Look at yourself. This is what an honest person looks like. It's beautiful. Do you want to come?
Yes. Yes, I want to come. I need to come.
Do you want me to make you come while I'm pulling back by your hair and tucking filth into your ear? Kissing your neck.
Yes. Yes. Oh, please.
I like you.
Please let me finish.
That's it. Come on, come for me. Let me feel you punch down on my face and tremble. Baby, are you getting close? Yeah, come on, come on. Oh, come on, there, you little slut. Get there. Come on, come for me. Come
yes, for me. I'm getting there.
Yes, yes, yes. It's okay. Just lay there.
Oh, I can't hold myself up. Oh, I don't. I don't know what to say. I feel... I feel satisfied. Happy. But I'm worried.
I'm not gonna say anything. You don't have to worry.
Not really about that. I don't have to worry about keeping you a secret. I worry that... that the next session we have, I won't be able to help you.
How do you know this doesn't help me?
Well, I suppose it could. I'm glad that we click, but I can't always know what you're thinking. And you... You won't ever let me know exactly what you're thinking. It makes me a little nervous. Cautious.
Well, that's probably wise.
Do you want me to be scared of you?
If you weren't, there'd be no reason for therapy, would there? Thank you for the session, Doctor.
Just call me Bridget.